It is time now for Green Visions, a KUMD production to encourage green thinking and green actions. Green Visions is made possible by All Energy Solar, a full-service solar installer in the Twin Ports. Well, of course, a lot of folks think that maybe dodging this storm might be a good idea, but most people didn't decide to walk from Philadelphia to Washington, D.C., especially folks from our area, to make a point about something completely different that has to do with climate change. Tone Lanzillo moved to Duluth a couple of years ago. He works with Loaves and Fishes, and he's an active environmentalist in the Duluth community, working with students to help organize the Our Future, Our Planet Summit, and championing the Duluth Agreement. He will be raising awareness about these issues during his walk. He is just about in Washington, D.C., and he joins us this morning on a short break, I guess. Hey, Tone. Hi, good morning, and thanks for joining us.
Good morning. It sounds like my weather here is a lot nicer than back in Duluth.
Go ahead. Tell us what the temperature is. Tell us that it's 50 or 60 and everyone's complaining about how cold it is.
Well, it's actually cooled off to 63.
Oh, gee. Yeah. All right. So what in the world got you from Duluth to Philadelphia and hiking to D.C.? Tell us the story.
Well, I'd lived in the Philadelphia area for probably 28 years and worked in the mental health field. And in the winter of 2016-17, I decided to change my lifestyle. And actually, between the spring and summer of 2017, actually decided to look for an intentional community to live in and thought I could do work in the community and provide public service. And actually, after some research, I decided to look into the Catholic worker communities around the country. And I interviewed or spoke to about 15 communities, including Duluth. And to be honest, when I arrived in Duluth around November 7th of 2017, I thought I was only going to spend about 2 weeks and then head south again, where I'd come from. But actually, after 2 weeks in Duluth, fell in love with the community, really respected what Loaves and Fishes was doing with their houses of hospitality and social justice. And I had done a lot of work with men. So one of their houses of hospitality is specifically for men. And that's where I became a live-in volunteer. And yeah, I've just loved my experience and have told my family and friends in the past year and a half that Duluth is my new home and will probably be my new home for a long time. Yeah.
Wow. And that certainly says something about the community that a person could say, I'm going to be here for 2 weeks because it's November and said, you know, maybe the weather's not warm, but the people are.
It's, Duluth is definitely the smallest town I've ever lived in my life, but just the whole atmosphere of the community, the people working on social issues, the arts community, the music community, of course, Lake Superior and the environment. Just fell in love with all of it and decided this is where I need to set up my new home, establish new roots. And, I can see myself living in Duluth for a long time.
So you got here, you said, I'm going to stay here, and then you said, no, I really need to walk from Philadelphia to D.C.
Just to share something, when I moved to Duluth and began reading about the environment, I began to make some personal changes. I decided to no longer own or drive a car, got rid of a lot of electrical appliances, changed my diet, especially my meat in my diet, and then I began writing about the environment, some short essays, and the Duluth News Tribune was kind enough to pick up some of those essays. And then actually on my birthday, last November 27th, I spoke to a group of students at UMD. It was the MPIRG organization, just about my journey to Duluth and Loaves and Fishes. And at the end of my talk, I just made a comment that I think someday it would be great to have an environmental summit in Duluth, so we could come together and look at things we could do to address what's going on, not only locally, but globally. And before I could walk out that night, MPIRG students came up to me and said they would like to do that summit. So we started working on the summit really in January. I thought, you know what, I walk around Duluth every day. maybe I should take a longer trip. And I looked at the East Coast, and because I'd lived in Philadelphia, I thought that would be a good starting point. And then it hit me that, well, Independence Hall's in Philadelphia, which is where our first Congress met, and, of course, our current Congress meets in Washington, D.C. So I looked at the map. It was about 140 miles, and I figured that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start in the city of brotherly love and end up in Washington, D.C. And my initial plan was to, as I walk, just talk to people about the environment, climate change, and things we can do individually and collectively. But this whole experience has been quite phenomenal. I found myself spending a lot of time just listening to people, their fears, their concerns, their reluctance, maybe not knowing what to do. And that's been a really exciting part of this experience, whether it's a taxi driver, a waitress, a motorcycle rider, a construction worker, a farmer. It's just had a great opportunity to meet a lot of people along the way who just wanted to share their thoughts and feelings about the environment, the climate change, their worries and concerns about the future. So it's been quite educational.
Did you find people who are, you know, of course, there's a lot of conversation about people being climate change deniers. And frequently, of course, it's high-profile people who take those stands. And the cynics among us wonder about what their motivation might be. The everyday people that you were talking to, the members of a community that you were talking to, did you find many people who felt that climate change was some kind of a hoax being perpetrated on them, since it really is a little bit difficult these days to know who to trust anymore?
Right. You know what? I can say I did not meet one person who thought that climate change was a hoax or there were no issues with the environment. Everyone had their own concerns or worries. I remember when I was in Springfield, Pennsylvania, I decided I finally had to get a haircut. My hair had gotten quite long in Duluth. And as the woman is cutting my hair, I just told her I was going on a walk, and that's how the conversation started. And during our conversation, her concern was the loss of species. Her concern was the disappearance of birds and other animals because of insecticides and other chemicals that are used in farming and agriculture. And so that's what she wanted to talk about. Down the road in northern Maryland, I ran into a motorcyclist, an older guy, who just wanted to talk about big companies and how he felt that money ruled everything. And it was going to be such a struggle to make changes because major corporations were going to be against environmental policies. Then I met some people who were worried about their children and grandchildren and what was the world going to look like in 40 or 50 years. I think what I noticed with everybody I met was they were great people. They're decent people. They care about things. I think it's a struggle when you're just trying to make a living, taking care of your daily life, and then you've also got this very big issue, and you just don't know how to address it or respond to it. So I did find a lot of frustration and confusion and apprehension as far as, you know, what do I do with this big issue? Where do I begin? Yeah.
Well, especially if you wonder if, no matter how concerned you are about it, as long as you can't pay for access or pay for influence, you know, if you have the sense that that's the way the system is set up, it really is very frustrating to how, if these are the ways that traditionally people get things done, how am I going to get something done if I can't buy access, in essence?
That came up a lot. And, of course, what I would talk about is, during my whole walk, I talked about two things. One, what can we do individually and personally in our own lives to address whether it's the carbon footprint or to improve our small piece of Earth that we live in, and also what can we do collectively. So I would often talk to people about those organizations out there that they may want to be a part of, to support, to lobby with. And I would talk about such groups as like the youth groups that have gotten a lot of publicity, like the Sunrise Movement and the Youth Climate Strike, which I'm actually have dedicated the walk to. And then I talked to them about such organizations as the 350.org or the Citizens Climate Lobby, and that there are groups out there that they can research and maybe want to support or get involved in. Yeah.
Well, I love the idea of youth groups because especially if older people are involved, they can perhaps offer perspective and maybe some sensible ideas going forward. And then the youth have the passion and the energy that I have, too, after I have a nice nap. So, Tone, you're going to hit D.C. tomorrow. What happens tomorrow when you get to D.C.?
Well, I have several plans, and they change, but that's great. My plans getting into D.C. is one is to talk to some congressional staff members, especially with the senators from Minnesota, and just to share my story, find out maybe what they're doing on environmental policies. There's three or four environmental groups that I've been in touch with, like the Environmental Defense Fund, that I plan to meet with and just learn more about what they're doing. And then I'm also planning to walk to the White House, probably by myself, and actually just stand outside the White House in silent protest for a period of time. I'm not going to be wearing any signs or anything, but just to share on a personal level my concern about what the president and Congress and others in our government are doing as far as, in many ways, from my personal point of view, threatening the environment, whether it's including cuts to the EPA or President Trump's proposal to withdraw from the Paris Agreement. These are very much concerns of mine. And there's probably some other groups I'll speak to while I'm in D.C. So I'll be in D.C. for about a day and a half. And there was a couple reporters, I think, that wanted to talk to me. So I will just talk to whoever is available and listen to them and hopefully learn a little bit more.
So when you come home, do you have plans to hold some kind of a public meeting, a public forum, to talk a little bit more about the experience, to share what you learned, to kind of debrief with folks that are interested here in the community?
It's funny you say that. I've had some very interesting texts and emails from people back in Duluth, mainly just of support, which I really appreciate. And it's funny you mentioned the word debrief. I have found that this walk has been much more intense on an emotional and mental level than I ever thought. So I have a lot of feelings and thoughts that have developed as a result of this walk. And there are things I want to do when I get back in Duluth. So, I will probably speak to various organizations, be it the churches or community service groups, about what I'm doing. And I have been in touch with many of the local environmental groups in Duluth that I support, especially like the Duluth Clean Water Organization and the Bag at Duluth Organization. And I have to really put a shout out for my own community, Loaves and Fishes community, because I know they've been in conversations about what can a community do to be more ecologically minded and maybe environmentally proactive as a community. So I'm sure there'll be some interesting conversations and dialogues when I do get back to Duluth.
Tone, thank you so very much for joining us this morning. Whether you need to get back to your walk at this point or whether you actually do get to, you know, take a little nap, whatever it is, we'll let you get back to it. But thank you so much for taking some time to let us know how this incredible project's been going. And I hope that we have a chance to follow what you're up to once you get back home.
I appreciate it. I hope you guys do well there.
Thanks. Tone Lanzillo this morning. He is just about ready to wrap up his Walk the Walk, a walk from Philadelphia to Washington, D.C. Originally, he had planned, he said, to talk to people about issues of climate change and the environment, but he's found himself doing a lot more listening instead. We'll get some more information up on our website at KUMD.org.